The greatest invention of all was beer.
Once thought of as a down-to-earth drink, these days beer has gotten fancy, with small brewers making what's known as craft beer.
It's beer! Craft beer!
I'm now proud to call myself a beer nerd.
Beer. Sparkling. Golden. Pure.
Well, God created beer. That's why I'm sitting here. Sitting in the junction bar, I'm too drunk to drive my car.
Episode 16 of the Louisville Beer Podcast. I'm your host, John Work.
I'm John King. 16 will get you. No, what? No, 16's legal here in Kentucky.
Is it?
No, Kentucky's 16.
They're 18. It's 2 years difference if they're 16 and you're 18. Sorry, I know this. Ageofconsent.com.
Ageofconsent.com.
And our off-color commentator over there. Who's writing Eat a Dick on a sheet of paper.
I am. I'm directing that at John Worth as I just drew the arrow toward him.
That's very sophomoric.
And I'm Scott Likens as I'm now introducing myself.
You are. Thank you so much.
I can't wait for the next change of pace, but let's do it.
So rate us on iTunes if you're listening on iTunes. Give us feedback. Rate us. Give us a 5 because we're fucking awesome. And speaking of feedback, take our survey at louisvillebeer.com/survey to be entered for your chance to win a 1-year membership to the Against the Grain Greeniacs Club. We're getting a lot of good feedback, including some shit about our fifth grade potty humor.
Really? People have said stuff about it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
A few people.
You know what? What you list, turn it off.
Turn it off.
Nobody's making you listen.
Yeah.
Nobody's making you
if
hear
you don't
me
like,
say ball hairs and taint and titties and stuff like that.
What would you like me to read out of the Encyclopedia Britannica?
That'd be good.
Would you like me to use big words you can't understand?
No. Absolutely.
Maybe we could read some of those comments sometime without the name and just read them online.
And then we can rip those people to shreds.
We'll do that.
Thanks, mister. And then that person at home listening will be like, wait, that was...
Sobbing. Yeah, that was me.
You know, wipe tears.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. If you don't like it, turn it off.
Yeah.
And it's sponsored by Against the Grain, where I had brunch today, and it was ridiculous. If you haven't been there for brunch, I had the fried chicken with grits and honey and beers, and I think
I had the
Ann L. Scotch bourbon barrel. So I don't know.
I was down there Wednesday, and Sam tapped the Bo and Luke as he said he would at 3 o'clock. I got the first one out. And was there Saturday.
You were there at 2:59.
And got the last when it blew on Saturday night. They took it off the board. So
nice.
I need to go get a lottery ticket or maybe go to an Asian spa or
You're very proud of that.
Something.
Fact, too.
Oh,
I'm like
very
that.
Proud of that.
That's great. So with us tonight, we've got Neil McCormick from Yazoo and Music City, Tennessee, Nashville. What's up, Neil?
Not much, man. Glad you guys. Thanks for having me.
Last minute. You're in town for just the hell of it, you said?
Yeah, we decided to shut down the brewery for next week and all of us just kind of scattered to different areas, and I found myself with nothing to do. So decided to take off doing a little driving and a little bit of drinking with some of my friends. So.
Sweet. And you end up here on some stupid podcast drinking with idiots.
Nah, looking forward to no other place I'd much rather be.
Right. I know. This is the beginning of a pretty epic night, I think.
This is where we should play the Golden Girls theme song. Thank you for being
mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm going to go ahead since this comes out on Tuesday. I want to invite everyone to Michael Beckman's Making Bacon Party tonight at his house. So if you're listening,
Sunday night,
come on over and party on Sunday night.
Making bacon.
No yeah, if somehow that ma- if it's making it through the interwebs to somebody's web TV,
right?
you'll need that grease to get lubed up.
Oh,
the bacon.
There's going to be some lubing from the bacon going on probably.
So you guys make Sue one of my favorite all-time beers that we cannot get here in Louisville. Why? First of all, why the fuck are you not distributing in Kentucky?
Excuse your language. This is
fifth grade.
Fifth grade,
yeah.
They don't
say
the
exactly.
F word.
You're right.
We're only distributed in Tennessee and Mississippi, and we really have no desire to really go anywhere else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is just our personal philosophy and always has been. And, you know, I mean, things may change going forward, but, I mean, you see so many breweries spreading out so quick and trying to do so many things. And
growing too fast.
Yeah, for us, it's, you know, it's not that there's not plenty of people. In the Southeast, we drink more beer than any other region in the United States except for the Midwest. And mm-hmm. it's like, it's not that there aren't people that are drinking beer. They're just not all drinking ours yet. So we just, kind of look at it as more of a challenge to kind of grow in those areas instead of kind of spreading ourselves too thin. So
gotcha. So the beer I'm referring to is Sioux. It's a smoked porter.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's an imperial smoked porter. It's the only high gravity beer that we make at Yazoo. We were actually the first brewery in the state of Tennessee to get a distiller's permit, which we had to go through then. Now there's actually a license to brew high alcohol beer.
Right.
And Sioux is the first one we brewed. We're all big Johnny Cash fans. And Linus came in and brewed our very first batch, you know, a handful of years ago, our owner, brewmaster, Linus Hall. And just had Johnny Cash blasting through the brewery and didn't really tell anybody and brewed our very first batch. And, yeah. You know, it's kind of been a hit. I think we won a silver JBF, you know, it and our Heffy's only two beers we've ever won awards with. But it's kind of really proud of, you know, especially smoked porter. I mean, I think the most awarded beer in JBF history is Alaskan smoked porter.
Yeah.
And if you can even compete in that category with.
Then you're doing it.
Oh,
right.
They got a wall of awards. So, I mean, if you're going to do something, you know, I mean, if you're going to be second to somebody, that's one you'd like to be second to, you know. Yeah. So.
Well, you're first in my heart.
Oh, thanks, first man. I should have brought you some. I apologize for that.
It's all right.
I'm going to be driving through Tennessee, I don't know, 5 days. What Yazoo beer should I pick up right now? What's the best beer available?
The best beer available, and in my opinion, is the best beer we've ever made. It's available in big bottles, 25-ounce, 750-milliliter bottles. Now is a 10-year IPA that we made. And
I think I had it at the Beer Fest.
Yeah.
It's pretty freaking tasty.
We do something. I mean, of course, you know, I think last year's over 180 some odd IPAs entered the JBF. Mm-hmm. And as far as we know, we're the only brewery in America that every batch that we make of our IPA, we change the number and collection of hops. We've used over 150 different hops, brewed thousands and thousands of gallons of each. So over the last 6-7 years of doing that, we've had a lot of interaction with different, you know, hop varietals and how they work together. And we've nailed on a recipe for one that we use a good bit of Mosaic and Citra hops in, just called 10 Years, Yazoo 10 Years, that is, bartenders, as soon as they pull the tap open, they just turn and look over their shoulder like, are y'all smelling this? Yeah, it's really amazing and very, very sessionable too, but phenomenal beer. I think we use a little bit of wheat grain there to lighten up the body, but really, really good beer.
Hop Project is easily my favorite. Yeah. The whole Hop Project is, what is going on?
Yeah.
Easily my favorite Yazoo beer.
So would we get the 10... On the beer side or the liquor side? Because I know Tennessee's kind of screwed
It's low grav. We're actually working on that right now, man. We finally got enough momentum where we can start updating some of our beer laws up until this past year.
Guild put together, I guess.
Finally. Yeah. Last year we had the second highest beer tax in the nation. Mm. I mean, Alaska's way up there, but I mean, where we were at, it was just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, excuse me, it was based on percentage of dollar. And it literally came down to most craft beers were paying like $52 a barrel in tax.
Wow.
And all the bigger breweries were paying close to between $16 and $19 for the same exact barrel of beer. So, but yeah, the next thing we're hoping to eliminate that goofy wall between high alk and low alk in Tennessee. It's just silly.
High gravity bars.
High gravity bars.
They talk about all the time.
Sutry's high gravity bar.
Yeah.
It just, you go down there and it's just like people are speaking a different language about beer. It's just everybody's talking about high gravity. And you don't hear that
anywhere else.
Ever.
Because here, beer's beer.
Yeah.
You know, in Tennessee, anything over 6% is considered liquor and tax as such, whether it be wine or anything else.
Yeah, we were just down there at Craft Brewed Nashville, and they got the one side, and then you have to go on the other side, I guess, to buy the high gravity with the wine. And it's just, I don't know, it's weird. Well, Indiana's weird because you can't buy cold beer in convenience stores.
Only in liquor stores.
I mean, these beer laws are weird.
I could blow your mind. When anybody ever complains about their laws, just always mention Oxford, Mississippi. Oxford, Mississippi is in a dry county. It's a wet city that cannot sell cold. They just passed it maybe a couple months ago where they could sell cold beer to go in the whole city. You could get pints and stuff, but you can't get packaged beer or anything. I mean, the whole while.
But can't you drive and drink in Mississippi or something? Like open container laws or
Tennessee
something?
Does not have an open container law.
No, Mississippi.
Yeah. I'm not sure if Mississippi does or not.
Okay. Louisiana does.
But, yeah.
I think. Yeah. Or they at least have. I think Missouri. I don't know. It's screwed up.
Yeah.
Tennessee, we have two beer laws that are shaped by football. And the first one is
they're
you can't.
Shaped like a football?
Close enough. And they don't have an open container law because they said they didn't want to hinder people tailgating to Knoxville for the UT games. And in Metro Nashville, you can't buy beer before noon on Sunday unless you're within a mile of Titan Stadium. You can buy it at 10 o'clock because they don't want anybody waiting in line for kickoff.
That's crazy. Yeah. So does that include your hood in East Nashville, so you're included in that mile?
That and downtown. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So how many breweries are in Nashville right now?
Let's see. I think we're up to about six or seven. We've had about three open just in the last 6 months.
That's awesome.
It's been very interesting to, and y'all, you guys probably see a lot too. I mean, the folks that you know, you met 5, 6 years ago, they're like, oh, I'm really interested in beer. And then turn around and he's like, oh, yeah. 6 years later, I got $3 million to start a brewery. It's like, sweet. All right, man. You know, remember when I was walking you through getting your first login for Beer Advocate?
Yeah.
You know, now
yeah.
you know you're opening your first brewery. It's kind of crazy, but yeah. A lot of really good friends, a lot of good stuff, yeah. You know.
So is the beer scene pretty close down there? I mean, all the breweries.
Yeah.
Scratch each other's back and cool each other, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, we're all, you know, pretty, you know, cooperative amongst working with each other. It's not really like a big pile of kumbaya, like, yeah, you know, most everybody like to think it is. But I mean, we all get along. It's cool. I don't,
right.
I mean, I get asked every week of what I think about the new breweries opening up or this guy or the other one coming in the market. And I honestly just
and
have
you're
to.
Like, fuck them. We're the best.
No.
You know, a lot of people think that breweries are in competition with each other. Like they think it's like you encounter a lot of people that think it's a contest or ask you things like that or they're looking for the controversy or wanting you to have a problem with it. So
I'm like, well, if you combine all the microbreweries in America, you know, we're less than 10% of the beer sold. So
or nano breweries,
you know,
guys,
or
nano breweries.
Well, we're just slightly above 10%, slightly.
So how do you guys size up? Speaking of nanos,
yeah.
How do you size up in Nashville size-wise? Like, how many barrels are you producing?
We're actually, let's see, this year we just ended up with 21,500. We're the second largest brewery in the state. As far as microbreweries, we're the largest, which, like I said, is not you know saying much, 23,000 barrels. There is actually a large contract brewery in Memphis that makes a lot of other things. I mean, between energy drinks to Red Stripe.
Really?
I mean, a little bit of all the Red Stripe.
Energy drinks? Yeah.
They do a little bit of everything. Wow. So they have like four breweries. I believe they're the one that bought the brewery, the old Latrobe Brewery in Pennsylvania, too. Oh,
okay. They may even be contract brewing some beer for somebody in Kentucky, too, maybe.
Yeah.
That may be the place.
City Brewing, they do a lot of stuff for a lot of people. So, but yeah.
Well, cool. Neil, thank you for coming in, man. We've also got on the line via Skype, if he's ready, Mr. Lee Rossman from Lore Brewing in Danville, Kentucky.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
We're doing well, man. How are you?
Oh, no, doing well. Good to be here.
Good. What are you drinking down there at Lore?
Actually, I'm drinking a little bit of Something Awful, which is a beer we made with somethingawful.com recently. It's going to be released sometime next year. So,
awesome. What style is it?
It's kind of a weirder Kolsch. It's a little heavier on the aromatics and the flavor hops. So it's not quite as crisp, but it has a little more in the flavor department than you're probably used to getting out of a Kolsch.
Gotcha. Very cool. So Something Awful. Are you buddies with that guy or something? What's the story behind that?
I've just been a forum member for a long time. Anybody who wants to check it out, it's just somethingawful.com. A lot of original content, you know, mostly comedy type stuff, a lot of satire. And actually Rich Kayanka from Something Awful came out and brewed this particular batch with us. Actually we did a whole big thing in Memphis, called it the world's worst beer and just kind of self-deprecating. And,
we talked about that on the podcast. It's hilarious.
That's an interesting, take and an avenue, but didn't you like blow all your beer first or something?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we brought probably triple of that we brought anything else. And there was a line wrapped around our tent the whole time. So,
nice.
It is a very good beer. It is a very good beer, but, reverse advertising is not something that's really been done, but you know, we did it.
You're
it
a pioneer,
well.
Lee.
Yeah, there we go.
When did Danville get the internet?
Are you on web TV right now?
Right. Yeah, I'm actually I'm using web TV because my Xbox One caught on fire. Otherwise, 2.0?
Are you at 2.016?
Yeah, it's very recent, very recent, yeah, and it's pretty suspect in quality. So
nice. Internet Explorer fucking rocks.
Yeah, I'm actually on Netscape Navigator. So
Netscape, wow.
Slow down.
Yeah.
So how big is your brew house there? So there's two breweries in Danville for those listening that don't know anything about beer. The Beer Engine, which we had those guys
wow.
on.
Wow. Wow. Who listens that doesn't know about beer?
I don't know.
You may have just insulted some listener we have that go, my God, there's two breweries in Danville?
There's someone.
I didn't know.
There's someone in the nanosphere that just doesn't know.
That guy just call me an unknowledgeable
idiot?
I only listen for the fifth grade humor. I don't know about anybody else.
The fart jokes.
You're listening for the titty and dick jokes.
You're listening for all the right reasons, Lee. Let's just say that, because that's all we got.
You're our target audience.
For the one guy that doesn't know anything about beer, we're glad you're here. Thanks for listening.
that one listener.
Hey, it means a lot to him right now. He's
oh,
like,
I know. He's like, fuck, yeah. they're talking about me.
He's still got to go to the factory to work, but he's happy.
So Beer Engine is there, and they were on episode 5 because they're opening a brewery here. And you guys, so tell us about the Danville scene.
You know, it's still pretty small because, you know, the biggest thing with Danville is we're an hour away from anything else. And at the end of the day, there's only 15 or 16,000 people in the town. So the
and
people that are into craft beer
in?
Are – what's that?
Is that when college is in? There's 15,000?
I'm not sure. That's just the official population stats. I imagine that probably doesn't include college, but definitely other professors and stuff. You know, so the people that are dedicated to the local beer scene are fiercely loyal to it. So it's been good as far as that goes. You know, there's still a long way to go here locally. But I think we're getting there, and definitely having, us and Beer Engine in the same town kind of working together and doing a lot of collaborations and stuff has definitely helped us out.
Right. So you're from Florida originally, is that right?
Excuse me. Yeah, actually, originally from Cincinnati and just kind of came here by way of Florida. So gotcha. I kind of bounced around all over the place.
So when are you doing the, Cigar City collaboration with Florida?
Yeah, well, you know, we're still kind of ramping up, sending our production to Florida. So, you know, we got a bunch of stuff going on down there right now, about to get involved with some festivals and things like that. But, you know, the beer drinkers in Florida are really great, and it's a shame that they were without good beer for so long, you know, until, Cigar City and some of those other guys were popping up. So
I read an article, probably maybe a year ago, about just the emerging beer scene in Florida, and I mean, there's a lot of breweries opening down there. I thought there was like 25 or something maybe, and there's like maybe 50, 60, maybe close to 70. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, first I read about it is when they're trying to get their growler law changed where they actually can fill – they can fill 32 ounces and fill gallon jugs, but they can't fill 64 ounces. The distributors,
so you can get a gallon?
Yeah, the distributors are like, nah, man, there's just too many people that want them. You know, we'll make them up shop to a gallon. I'm like, what am I missing here? Yeah.
Can you drink on the shuffleboard courts in Florida? I mean,
you got one free hand.
Yeah.
Well, they're pretty slick. You got to be careful not to spill your beer. But,
you know, Lee, you should maybe think about doing some like Depends esque merch down there.
Yeah, can we get
that could be your target audience down there, man. On
I
the
can definitely do that. I mean, it depends on you know the deal, but you know,
can we get Lee in like a thong speedo on the beach? Hawking his beer.
Speedos are your thing.
I can give him some.
Florida's a long way from here. If he's doing it, as long as it's not on Facebook, I won't know what happened. So give it hell, dude.
So how much beer are you producing there at Lore per year?
You know, I actually haven't done my end of the year yet. We were a little bit down this year because actually me and my wife just had our first child. So we shut down for about 2 months during the summer. We are somewhere between 500 and 1,000 barrels, and we expect to at least double that this year with Send a Beer to Florida. Also, with the Something Awful, they're actually located in Missouri, in Kansas City on the Missouri side. So our distributor that we're talking to there, actually, they built their warehouse on the border of Kansas and Missouri. So hopefully we'll just get into that distribution house and be able to go both places and kind of expand a little further out that way.
Hey, Lee, I got a question for you. Remember we were talking down in Knoxville and you were telling me that you were sending, was it beer to 38 states or something with Beer Engine? Was I just intoxicated and dreamed that?
No, no.
Or did you tell me that?
He dreams about you all the time,
Lee. That is very true. It's actually not something we're doing yet, but it's something that's coming very soon because the Something Awful is a web community with 250,000 members. The easiest way to get that to members is to have them be able to order it online. And Florida is one of those states that allows us to ship directly to people's houses in 37 states. So, chances are, you'll never be able to buy it here, but you can go buy it. Liquor barn or whatever anyway, but your typical suspects, I don't think like Alabama, Mississippi, stuff like that. I'm not sure what the law is there, but I'd imagine it's a lot like Kentucky's.
They've got some weird laws in Alabama. Like what doesn't Founders have a problem down there with like Arrogant Bastard or something? You can't have a logo.
Yeah, there's been a couple like that.
They just got to where it's legal to homebrew down there like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Well, and that's why we had to change our Doppelbach name because originally it was Arschloch, which is German for asshole, named after one of the local city workers. But we had to change that just so we could, go out to different states and not have issues. So.
Yeah, nice. So you can't name a beer asshole. God, what is wrong with these fucking liquor laws?
I want to
name my beer whatever against the grain.
Don't tread on me.
Yeah.
Nanos.
Nanos. There you go. Nano Brewery.
I love Nanos.
I can't wait till we get it. Let me get a few more beers in, and we're going to talk about this Nano stuff.
I think we're good.
No.
What percentage of your beers do you sell in Danville versus what you send out in Kentucky and Florida?
Locally, you know, we don't have a tap room. It's all just, you know, the local outlets, and we try to do as many events with them as possible. I mean, Danville, if they're 5% of our market overall, I'd be surprised.
Oh, really?
And then really, the remainder is pretty much split between Kentucky and Florida. You know, Florida buys a whole lot of beer. They're a huge state, you know, 20-some million people. You know, a lot of beer drinkers down there. And, you know, they're very non-seasonal about their beers, too. So, you know, they have no aversion to drinking a Doppelbach in the middle of the summer. So we like that.
Well, good for them. All right.
We are entering rapid fire.
Are you ready?
In Danville, which I'm very familiar with, who has the coolest facial hair? Your mustache or Holton's chops?
Ooh, wow. Those chops are pretty strong. I'm going to say that if you could have my mustache with his chops, you'd be set.
I mean, didn't you guys, the collaboration you did, didn't you filter the beer through your mustache?
Yeah. Well, you know, Brian's chops were the pre-filter, but ultimately, yeah, I was cleaning my mustache for a couple days.
I had heard that.
All right, next question. What is your favorite TV dinner?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, cheaper the better. You know, banquet Salisbury steak, it's not too bad. you get enough beers in you can eat them all night.
I'm more partial to the meatloaf banquet.
Meatloaf. All right, meatloaf's not bad.
Meatloaf. End this statement. Coffee makes me blank.
Shit.
That's what I was looking for.
You know, if you give me a couple cups of coffee, I could fill up a mailbox.
Fifth grade humor here again.
He could fill up a mailbox.
What is your favorite beer in Kentucky other than what you make?
You know, I really do like the Bow and Luke. That one and probably the BBC Bourbon Barrel Stout, I think, are the two best bourbon barrel beers being made out there anywhere.
And have you had both of those? Sorry.
I've never had the Bourbon Barrel Stout.
My rapid fire, asshole. You can ask him.
Did you not?
Come on, it's rapid fire.
Talking. All right, if you could change one thing about the beer culture in Kentucky, what would it be?
I would probably want it to not be quite as IPA-centric. You know, unfortunately, that's kind of how it is everywhere now. But, there's a lot of really great beers that aren't double, triple hop craziness that are very, very good.
Awesome. When you look at your logo, the wings actually form a mushroom. Is that based on Super Mario or Super High?
You know what? I actually never noticed that.
It does form a mushroom if you look at it. Mushroom. It's like the Mario mushroom.
Mushroom.
Does it have polka dots on it?
I've heard some people say that it's, what's that guy, Hank Williams or whatever, his whole shtick. But
Bocephus.
Hey, we'll go with Shrooming. You know, nothing wrong with a little Shrooming. I mean,
I'll say.
What's your favorite beer from your home state of Ohio?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, there's so many good breweries up there now. I really like Hoppin' Frog's Hoppin' to Heaven. That one's really good. I enjoy that one a lot. Nosferatu is another one that I go to whenever I can find it. You know, I need to get up there, though, and try all the new ones. Mad Tree's supposed to be great. Rheingeist and all that kind of stuff. So
I'm actually drinking out of a Rheingeist glass right now. Here's your last question. You can either A, participate in Turbo Kick Pump number 4 with David Pierce, or B, be naked in a hot tub with Sam Cruise. What would you rather do?
I'm working out with Pierce.
I like him big, though. You know, like, I definitely get hot. And, you know, you said you were going to loan me a Speedo anyway. I mean, I don't even really need it if it's Sam. You
right.
know? I mean,
wow. That's the I don't know how to end rapid fire, but it's done. B. B's the answer.
That's your answer.
There you go.
But there may be some turbo pump involved in B. We don't know.
It's a mixture of both.
I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think that'd be a possibility. Right.
Stop that fifth grade humor now. So what all are you guys bottling now? And how do you determine what you're going to go into bottle?
Well, you know, originally we determined it just based on our main flagship beers when we launched, because originally we had our cream ale, our amber, and our brown. The cream ale was a really great beer when we had the tap room. It just didn't travel very well. I'm sorry, we good?
John Worth is looking at his phone and talking about Cream. I'm not sure what is going on.
Is he looking for the writers? Oh, Cream poured my mouth. All right. So we did our amber and our brown. That was just a natural transition there. When we did the Doppelbock for the first time, it was just extremely popular. We knew that we had to bottle that. Our Marzen we made originally like a year or two ago for Oktoberfest. And, it's one of those things. I just liked it so much that we called it Lorelei Lager and took the Marzen label off and just started selling it all year. So
nice.
I hate to interrupt, but I think we have someone rapping on our door outside.
We're rapping.
Bill
Darner. Yep.
He has a big beard. And he...
Is there enough room for all the beards in this room?
I know, dude. I apologize. Mine isn't like any fashion thing. I'm just lazy, dude. I got to shave 5 minutes every morning. I can do it.
I just shaved mine. I shaved all the... Everything off today, so I have some baby face right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's what we should call you. John, Babyface King.
I know, dude.
How about John sits on my face, 31.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
You rock it. I don't need
to check. Oh, my God. It's Michael.
Bill Garner just walked in the podcast, everybody.
I thought
hello,
that was
Phil.
Michael J. Fox from
Back. Hi, everybody out there in from internet
back to
land.
From Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Marty McFly.
I can't start you a tab unless you buy something.
nice vest.
I look camp.
Are you going hunting?
I have that same vest.
Actually, blends really good with the wall, man.
Yeah.
It's a weird coincidence.
It matches the Louisville.am orange.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right on.
Where's some fucking beer?
Go in there.
Here you go. Here's a bush.
You have to go in there and get a glass. 25
ouncer.
That extra ounce is for you.
Go in there and get a glass. No,
there's one right there.
Okay, right here's one.
It's got lipstick on it, but you're good.
Here's a question for you, Lee.
Yeah, man.
About a year ago, Louisville got a couple kegs of the Intergalactic IPA, and someone mentioned it had a minty aftertaste and aroma. Are you aware of that issue, I assume?
Oh, no. We're very aware of that. We actually made a root beer for a brief period of time, and
which
the reason why
delicious.
We stopped making the root beer is because the residual mintiness would kind of migrate its way over to the beer. We had no idea it was even happening until we got called saying, it's kind of minty. I think the general consensus was, it's not bad, but it's not the beer you're supposed to make. So we axed the root beer right away and replaced all our gaskets and stuff. So, but the new Intergalactic will be coming out here in the next couple of months. We're going to start releasing that in bottles as well.
Oh, that was my question. Sweet. That's a good beer.
Hey, Lee, did you guys do the Sausage Fest this year?
Well, yeah, that's actually our Lorelei Lager. We used to call it Sausage Fest, and then we took the Marzen label off it so people wouldn't think, I can only buy it in September, October. It's an Oktoberfest.
Phil
so.
Derner loves Sausage Fest.
He does. That's why he showed up to the podcast.
It is.
There would be Sausage Fest. Well,
there is
Sausage
Fest. There is Sausage Fest.
Number one
it's a fucking beer
barrel
podcast.
In Louisville.
Right. It wouldn't be the internet without Sausage Party either. It's the same
right.
on my end. So.
You're right. And your root beer, I've never realized how much – wintergreen is a flavor in most root beers, but yours was really wintergreeny, and that's what I think made it so good.
That was the problem. I mean, I think if we had toned that down a little bit, then it probably would have been okay. But I mean, I've still got kegs out there that I'm afraid to use. We just kind of set them to the side, and hopefully, if we ever decide to make it again one day, everything will kind of stay separated. But definitely, it's really just sarsaparilla, wintergreen. Sometimes some vanilla and stuff. But it's a huge flavor component, absolutely.
And it will make you fat as hell if you drink it. I can
attest
to that. Is that
what happened to you?
Oh man, it will make you swell up really, really quick. What happened to you? Is it the nanos?
The nanos are swollen,
and there's a secret handshake or something.
We can't talk about that. I'm still talking root beer.
Oh, yeah.
Bottle the root beer. A little tip from me to you.
I had a sarsaparilla beer 2 days ago from Dark Horse. Mm-hmm. It was. I took three sips and dumped it down the drain.
That's what it was.
No, it was a Dark Horse only makes good stouts. Everything else tastes like shit, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
I like smells like a safety meeting.
Too. Yeah, they do. Their root beer
is pretty awesome.
Beer, cream
yeah,
soda.
It's called
too.
Smells Like a Safety Meeting. Mm. It's pretty good.
What's a safety meeting?
I don't know.
It's a universal term in the craft beer world that no one ever really got together and decided on, but everybody uses it.
Okay.
It smells like a burnt tire.
So you started out with a homebrew supply store, and that recently closed down. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, beginning of 2013. When we found out my wife was pregnant. Again, Danville's so small. Like, we were actually doing really good with the homebrew supplies, but, our market's pretty limited. And I figure, Iowa Kentucky Homebrew does such a good job. You know, they this is what they do for a living. Sure. You know, they have a bigger space now. So, you know, homebrewers, if you're wondering, you know, because we get messages all the time, hey, can I buy some yeast or something from you? Go see them up in Louisville. They have a little bit of everything and then some. So
awesome. Well, Lee, thank you so much for being on the podcast tonight. Lee Absolutely. Rossman from Lore Brewing. Where can we find you online, Lee?
You can find us at lorebrew.com. We're facebook.com/lorebrew and at lorebrew on Twitter. Also, if you know, you have any other questions for us, you know, you can send an email to info@lorebrew.com or stop out and see us tomorrow night at Whole Foods Lexington. We'll be there from 9 till midnight. They're open Sweet. Late, and we're going to be doing some giveaways and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Lee.
Lee. Thanks, man.
Peace.
All right, thanks, guys.
Nice mustache.
Yes. Best in the business.
Well, outside of Raleigh Fingers.
So with us tonight, we've got Doug Davis from On Tap, which is the liquid beer enhancer. You can find out more at ontapbeer.com. First off, thanks for the samples, Doug. We're excited to test this stuff out.
My pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about how you came up with this idea, and tell us what it is exactly, too.
Well, let me tell you how it came about to begin with, and the rest will make more sense. In 2005, I was diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic.
Don't speak up.
And my favorite beer at that time had been a Scottish Wee Heavy that I used to brew.
Right. So you're a home brewer then?
I certainly am, yes. And unfortunately, that was going to come to a halt if I didn't change something because the alcohol content, the carb content, was off the charts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I discovered by changing the mashing temperature that I could reduce the fermentable alcohols and along with the carb count.
Right.
And right. From that, I was good for several years. We had a block party that's established every year. It's pretty big. About 50, 55 people show up. And we bring three six packs of beer each.
Right.
All craft beer. And we just go nuts. Well, I had a neighbor, still do, who's a wonderful guy, but he's a beer snob. He will not drink a domestic beer.
Right.
So as a joke.
Kind of like us guys here in the studio.
Yeah, there you go. So as a joke, I was going to take PBR, rebottle it, CO2 it, and put it in a craft beer bottle. And tell my brewer, watch him drink it. I got a little creative and actually took my Scottish Wee Heavy and reduced it like you would a stock or a roux. I took 3 gallons down to 23 ounces and put 1 ounce of this stuff in every bomber that I put PBR in. Dude. And lo and behold, it changed the flavor profile. Mm-hmm. It did its job.
Oh, motherfucker.
we're trying the product right now as we speak. So if you hear expletives, that's because we're squirting way too much in these tiny 5 ounce containers.
We say ball sack and taint and fuck and stuff like that on here.
I got the touch. You barely finger
it. You barely squeeze it? Is that the trick, Doug?
It's kind of like the Nano. You just barely squeeze it and it comes out.
So what beer are we putting this into? This is the American Ale.
Do this for me, guys. Go and close the cap of that bottle and squeeze it, and you'll discover one side is softer than the other.
Okay.
That's intentional.
One side softer.
Right. So put your thumb on that side of the bottle.
All right. Is it the front or the back?
So you put your thumb on one side. Where do you put the other fingers?
You diddle it.
On the other side.
Okay.
You just diddle it a little bit.
So it smells like soy sauce. The American Ale does.
I've heard somebody else say that before. I don't get that. To me, I get a real malty, and I get kind of a chocolate and a toffee smell.
I smell toffee and chocolate. I mean, I get that.
There are some beers that are very soy saucy. Dark Horse makes some soy sauce beers.
Oh, my goodness. Man, that's hard to squirt.
Yeah, I have a Samuel Adams Triple Buck from 94 that's pretty soy saucy. It took about 12 people to drink 8 ounces
of it. Yes, yes. We bought a case of it. It was not good.
All right, so we should try this. I think this is the Bush beer with the.
This is Bush beer with the American what's it called? American Ale.
I'm not sure which beer I have, but I've got it in there. I can't tell how much.
Yeah. I can't hear your response to this, but why not just buy good beer instead of putting some kind of ingredient into a bad beer?
Well, as I said a minute ago, I had to stop that because I was type 2 diabetic.
Right.
So I needed to be able to create a beer that I could drink without the carb content. And so I was able to buy a low-carb beer and add my stuff to it and get the flavor I liked without the sugar content, the carb content.
Gotcha.
I don't expect anybody to stop drinking their craft beer, but this is an opportunity for somebody who maybe can't afford it or has a health issue to get what they want. You can also imagine sporting events where you're not going to find what you like.
Right.
Parties. If you've ever been to a wedding, you can be rest assured it's not going to have what you want.
Sure.
Up there.
Sure.
That's when I skip the wedding and go somewhere else. No, I'm kidding. Can you do me a favor?
You know,
do you have headphones? Or I'm getting an echo from our voices. Do you have headphones on you by any chance, Doug?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We'll just keep going. So this, to me, I don't really taste this. Like I don't taste an American ale. I taste soy sauce and Busch, to be completely honest with you.
I actually get a little bit more of it than that, to be honest.
Could you speak in the microphone, please, sir?
Yeah, I'll use the microphone.
John, can you tell me what Busch tastes like?
Ask your wife about that.
70s Busch.
So go ahead, Neil. What were you saying?
No, I mean, I actually got a little bit more of it than I thought I was going to, as far as flavor-wise, yeah. I mean, yeah, you do get that little bit of sweetness and you know that you're used to, like you said, the soy sauce similarities, but, I mean, it really neutralizes a lot of the flavors of the beer that was in there before, which is not a bad thing.
Right.
Go ahead and put some more in and see what comes of it.
I don't know, man. You would have to almost be a master. I would have to go to a training class to drink this beer to get it dosed up properly to get to where
it takes practice.
I think that's pretty key. And I mean, I don't know. That's just my impression. Like, I don't know how much to put in what. Yeah,
or how much a squirt is.
I mean, I know how much a squirt is. Like a squirt.
Oh, it's disgusting, dude. Shut up.
Too soon.
So yeah, Doug, you said if you could imagine what a milliliter is. That's what you discussed on the phone earlier.
1 milliliter for 12 ounces would get you a light ale.
Gotcha.
2 milliliters will get you a nut brown. 3 milliliters will get you a porter.
Okay. So we're using probably too much in these small 5-ounce tasters.
I can say the pale ale smells a lot better in regards to the American ale.
Do another square of the American ale. You'll start to get like a coffee. Yeah. Slight espresso flavor.
I was tasting toffee.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
Nice. Well, that's what he said. It would make like a porter, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Doug?
Let me try it again.
Here, try one other square of that one. It's really. It's. I mean, you really get quite a bit more.
Whoa!
Oh, easy, big fella.
Yeah, we're
making a mess here, Doug. Sorry.
No, I made a mess before
see
I came
side
over
of
here.
The table.
So let me ask you this, because for your what is it, the IPA
that's
or the pale ale? You chose to put a dog on the logo. Why did you choose a dog?
Well, first of all, it's not an IPA. It's a pale ale. We will never have the bitterness of an IPA. We actually did some focus group work. We ran down to a place here in Denver called the 16th Street Mall and polled my target audience, 21 to 35-year-olds. And they liked the dog for American.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like all your graphics and photography and everything are amazing. So you've done a really good job marketing this. So how is it? I mean, is it successful? Are you getting good feedback from this product?
We are for end users, yes. And again, my target market's 21 to 35. When you get beyond that, the answer I get is exactly what I think it was. Is it Kevin or Kyle? The guy to your left.
Phil.
Phil. I apologize, Phil.
No.
Phil had made the point about why would somebody buy this when they can go buy the beer they want. When you exceed the age of 45, that's a pretty common answer.
It's the
millennials that like to tweak things and change stuff up.
Sure. So you're marketing to a younger audience than us old dudes that are craft beer geeks or whatever.
Or once you get past that target audience, I mean, hopefully, maybe, you've got a job and can afford to pay $8 for a six-pack.
Sure.
$9 for a six-pack. I mean, that would go past your target audience. Because then that moves into, you know, people that maybe have careers and shit.
What is your retail price that y'all have these out there for per bottle?
$3.99 to $4.99.
Okay, and that would probably do what, about 3-4 16-ounce pints?
No, it does a lot more.
A little bit more than that. Okay.
What's the how many pints does it do, Doug?
Let me do it in 12-ounce bottles and cans instead of pints, because that's really what it was aimed at.
This should come with a PowerPoint.
Nah, it's pretty simple. Squeeze the bottle, Scott.
I got the squeeze the bottle.
You squeeze from the base, Scott.
I got the squeezing and stuff down. Trust me.
All right. So you should be able to get about let's talk about the American ale because it's a little easier to find. Okay. You'll get about 30 to 32 light ales. You'll get about 16 to 18 – sorry, rephrase that. 18 to 24 nut browns, and you'll get about 12 to 14 porters out of the bottle.
Okay. So did you get that, Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's not bad for for one bottle.
Yeah. So I'm trying the pale right now, and it's a totally different. I mean, I get a lot of citrus out of this. Are there like hop? Is it hop extract in here?
No. That was something that we really focused on trying to do, and unfortunately, I can't get hop oil to bind with everything else. It wants to float to the surface.
Right. Hop oil. Hop oil.
Oh, okay. Oil right on. Right. Yeah, I get it. I know.
So with with you being right outside of Denver, and Denver's huge when it comes to craft
140
beer.
140 something.
Yeah. How's it been in Denver or Boulder area? Have you received a lot of positive feedback?
Yeah, from the end users, once again, they're pretty fond of it. And it's my target audience. You get beyond that, and it's not much of an audience for it.
And I'll tell you what, your target audience, you may start getting a lot of traction after the first of the year when weed goes legal and people are putting more of their dollar to weed than craft beer. Yeah, you can go get some, you know, you can go get a 40 and dose up with your stuff and go get a quarterback.
Yeah.
It'll be legal then.
Yeah, it helps your cotton mouth out quite a bit.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. I wouldn't know anything about that.
So I read you were quoted in an interview, Doug, saying every beer is your own beer. You don't have to drink what some brewmaster has decided what beer should taste like. I kind of disagree with that.
I want to kick your ass for that.
This is Phil from BBC. He works in a brewery, as does Neil here. But so explain that, because I think a brewmaster knows their craft and knows their ingredients and its quality ingredients.
I work at a tap room at a brewery.
John. Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying. It's attached to the brewery.
Right. So can you explain that quote, Doug?
Here's your answer. If I go to the liquor store and buy a 1554, that's one beer that's not going to change. It's always going to be a 1554.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if you are, say, 25 years of age and you want a light ale now,
right,
and you want a nut brown in a minute, and then you want a porter, you're buying 3 6 packs of beer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas I can tweak any can of beer, any bottle of beer, to what I want it to be and change it the next time around.
Okay.
That simple.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Phil, what do you think about that?
Well, a savvy consumer could go and make their own six packs at a handful of given mom and pop bottle shops, but you're correct. So then all you got to do is carry around three different containers of, what is it called?
On tap.
On tap, yeah.
Well, you'll need to carry on two, one for pale ale and one for.
I put this in the ice house, the pale, and it just gives it like a citrusy kind of flavor.
Pale has a much better smell to
it. Yeah, I think so too.
You like the there's also a kind of banana hint to it. It's sweet at the front side, dry, and then a little bit of bite. It's never going to be an IPA to any at all.
Right.
Not that I wouldn't like to make an IPA, but it hasn't come to fruition yet.
But you can't drink them.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, Doug, thank you so much. Where can people find more information about you online?
The website, ontapbeer.com, and you can find the product there. We have other flavors on the horizon, a shandy somewhere not too far away.
Yeah.
We're looking at a honey wheat, mm-hmm. and we're looking at a cider. Cider's proving a bit more difficult than I expected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're working with a flavor company, I assume? Is that who you're working with, or are you working with brewers?
A bit of both. We're dealing with a flavor company produced the in unit. I'm actually sampling product to get where I want to go.
Gotcha.
So I don't want to mimic anybody's product. Everyone does a very good job of what they make. Mm-hmm. And just to be fair, I don't expect to cause any damage to the craft brew industry.
Yeah.
Ignore the big guys. I'm just the guy that has a cool idea for those who have health issues and want to change something on the fly.
Gotcha. Very cool. Gotcha. Well, thank you so much, Doug, for talking to us. And we'll find out more at ontapbeer.com.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.
Have a great night.
See you, man.
Take care, all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, that was Doug.
That was Doug. I'm going to tell you this. If you have health issues, quit fucking drinking. You don't need to make shit that tastes like shit.
And especially if you live in Colorado, your health issue problems with a buzz is about to come to an end January 1st in Colorado.
Balls around the weed.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, we just had a guy on there, and his target audience is kids 21 to 30-something.
21 to 30-something aren't going to squirt shit into there unless it was like five-hour energy related.
I don't think they give a shit about it.
Wait a minute.
They'll use the hell out of Molly.
Well, yeah, Molly, but this ain't Molly. This is Molly's ugly sister, Sarah.
Yeah, what's Molly? Oh, yeah, it is Molly's ugly sister, Sarah.
Yeah, and it don't get you fucked up. I mean,
look at John Worth right now, everybody.
It's literally like going to China Kitchen, taking a soy sauce pack and pouring it in your fucking beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, without the Crab Rangoons.
Not a fan.
What about the Molly, John Worth?
What about the Molly?
I don't know.
I think there's something there, possibly. I just think this came from somebody that really didn't know the extent of different flavors you could get.
He was a home brewer for years and years.
I know, but
he used to make Wee Heavies.
To put it on a larger scale. I know, to put it on a larger scale. I just think there's a lot of other flavor. I mean, let's just say like a Heffy flavor. You know, like a banana citrus flavor. I mean, how difficult would that have been instead of going for pale ale? Let me close my eyes. Is this Sierra pale or?
Yeah. It's such a complex.
I wonder. Yeah. Well, you know, you look at the package and marketing. So, honestly, some money's been invested in this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, it's like the Flowbee or whatever, that vacuum that cuts your hair. We're going to kind of see how it goes.
I'm always hoping for one of those in my stocking on Christmas.
You need one. That'd be a good. You have a vacuum cleaner.
You have gotten your hair cut.
It would be $30. It would be $30 I've saved in two years since I had two haircuts.
Do you even own a vacuum cleaner? Is the real question here?
Yeah, dude, I got a Dirt Devil.
Dirt Devil.
Really?
You don't have a Dyson?
No, man.
Dyson.
No. I don't have any. I don't even know what that means. I'm sure over there
it's
in
a
the
fancy vacuum.
I'm sure in the nano world over there. Is that like a riding?
It is vacuum? A riding vacuum cleaner. Yes.
Right on.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, the OnTap beer.
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan either. But, you know, there's a market out there, hopefully, for it. So, let's find that.
If you can figure out how to get it to what you want to drink and, you know, by not squirting too much in.
Right, yeah.
Because it's easy to.
You don't want to squirt too much in because nothing comes good.
You don't want to wrap it up with some cellophane.
Actually, saran wrap.
Oh, saran wrap.
Cellophane.
Should have used
bubble wrap for her pleasure.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa. That's,
did you just hear that?
We're not going to talk about
it. You just said something funny, dude. So
it's not the first time.
We got Phil showed up here unexpected.
Yeah, Phil. Grab a mic and open headphones.
I opened a good beer, too. Well, yeah, let's talk about what we're drinking, because Scotty...
We're drinking all kinds of
shit. We should talk about what we're drinking.
So the first thing we had was a High Life from Cigar City. And then we had a pale ale from Yazoo, and then we had a whole growler of Dark Star, which is, I love the Dark Star.
That's very good.
Dark Star Porter from BBC, and then we had some
on-tap beers,
Old Milwaukee Bush and Ice House, which were better than the on-tap beers. And then I just opened a 2012 Bolt Cutter, which is, you can pour it yourself, asshole.
Hey.
You want
barley wine.
And we had some West 6 Christmas.
West 6 Christmas.
Is it gone?
Too soon. West 6 Christmas is gone. We have to do a little cleanup. Phil, you want some Christmas
Would you like
cakes?
A little Debbie's?
No, thank you.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sure Scott will eat that.
Have you ever had two breweries?
Give me a little bit.
Two dogs at the same time?
No.
No.
Doing festivals and all the...
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about being beer pimps for...
Big breweries. There's a lot of beer pimps out there these days.
Yeah. What are some of the weirdest things people have tried to do to get free beer?
I guess my favorite is at Bonnaroo.
Have you on a podcast?
Yeah, podcast. At Bonnaroo, every year there's always these two hippie chicks that come around with their boyfriends in the beer tent, and they will go around with a flat tray, cardboard tray, and the girls will say, "We'll flash you guys if you will give us two beers, give us each a beer," and then the boyfriends just hang out in the behind the scenes and, you know, and just scoop up all the beers, you know, for them.
Dude,
and all
listen, there's nothing like being at Bonnaroo and there's a 21-year-old girl standing in front of you, topless, waiting to get a beer.
So, what's the characteristics of this beer? Sorry, what were we talking about?
I mean, there's nothing
are
like
Are you
it.
Talking?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me,
do you have a head?
Yeah, exactly. Was that a butter? Is that a butterfly or a fairy? I can't tell the difference here. Right. Yeah. And, yeah.
God damn. How many weeks on the road are you
out? Man, it's easy for me to talk about my road time because I don't have a wife and a couple kids like Phil does. But I think last year was probably a better part of, you know, 20, 25 out on the road.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, it's... You know, then you add in all the different beer festivals. It seems like everybody these days, just because they can have a friend that can build a website, they want to start a beer festival. So Right. Then they expect us to take a Saturday out of our lives and go and, you know.
That's a Friday and a Saturday.
Yeah,
and Sunday, the ride home.
Yeah.
And that's happening in Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't happen in
Kentucky. Yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah.
But you got a new partner.
Yeah, we just got through hiring somebody that helps out with a good bit of that. But we're actually cutting out of a whole lot of our festivals, man. It's just, there's a lot of things that just stop being fun. If it's not fun anymore, then we're going to stop doing it, you know. Right. And there's a lot of festivals that are out there that's, I'd much rather just bring 4 or 5 kegs up here to you guys. Let's just hang out and drink beer than I would to drive it to a field and give it away to somebody for no reason at all.
Or to stand in Chattanooga for 10 hours.
That's a 12-hour. Yeah, unless y'all have ever done a 12-hour beer festival, then you don't realize.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, good times. This year
we should do a beer festival in my front yard with just Sue. Can we do that?
Easy.
We
we'll get a keg. Well, let's just see how many grown men it would take to finish off a full-size keg of Sue. We'll do one of Bourbon Barrel. We'll pick teams. Yeah. We'll both get 10 guys, and you bring one of Bourbon Barrel, and I bring one of Sue, and we'll see who can get to their keg first.
So my front yard next week, is that right? Is that what I'm getting here?
I got nothing going on between now and the first of the year, man. Right. So you let me know. I can
done.
Just, 2 hours away. We can make it happen.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Scott, I just opened Founders Bolt Cutters, the 15th anniversary.
And you squirted some Montab in there.
Scott just made a ugly face.
I was like, I took a drink and I was like, holy fuck, man, that's a huge.
What other face does he make?
Yeah, you're right.
Eat a penis.
Eat a penis, he said. Fifth grade humor.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say titties or dicks taints or ball sacks.
So can I squirt some of this on tap pale ale in this?
No. So we have Christmas coming. Let's ask a question. If we had one thing, okay, beer Christmas list. Everyone around the table, you get one list. If you could have one beer on your Christmas list that you would receive, what would it be? John Worth, go.
Pliny the Elder.
The Elder, not the Younger?
I guess that is more rare.
Rawr.
All right, can we get a non-cliche response to that?
Oh, I agree. That's pretty cliche. I've had a lot of those.
You just responded with the equivalent of, like, I just reviewed.
Oh, my God.
Folks, that sound you hear would be a large Lachouf glass being spilled on a keyboard.
Barley wine on
that's
the keyboard.
That's the bad news is. The good news is keyboards are now $8 a piece.
Oh, my God, John.
Where's the nearest Staples? I've got to make a run.
Do you want a mouse with that too, sir? In an external numpad?
I can't believe you just dumped a fucking beer on the keyboard.
It was inevitable, but I'm
surprised. Folks, that's what happens when you have a blank slate to mention your favorite beer, and you mention Pliny. There you go.
Yeah, John Worth lost his mind.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same person that goes on Beer Advocate and rates Fat Tire for the 8,000th time.
I love this. 8,001, man, that's going to push it. They're going to have
some
insight.
Gave it a B+. Right. I had it out of a Matterhorn skull. That's what I drink out of.
Matterhorn. So John Worth goes with Pliny the Elder from Russian River out in California, which it's a solid IPA.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things that have caught up to it, in my opinion.
Sure.
How about Phil? Phil, non-beer from you guys, if you could have it in your stocking along with some negligees for your missus.
Negligees.
I don't know. I can always go with an Avetinus. It's always dear to my heart. So you throw that into my stocking, I'm not going to get mad. But I don't know. There's a lot of good beer out there.
We could do a rapid fire with Phil because I can come off on the top of my head.
You're awesome.
I know. I'm very smart. Phil, are you from here in Louisville, Kentucky?
No.
You're not from here in Louisville?
No.
If you could see,
Where are you from, Phil?
I am from Ramstein, Germany.
Really?
Really.
All
right. Do you do Host?
9.
Thank you. Which would you rather see, Phil? The Cards win another basketball championship or Calipari leaving UK?
Fuck Calipari, man. I'm all about the Cards, so let's go ahead and win another championship.
What is your favorite beer that is not made at BBC on Clay? In Kentucky.
In Kentucky?
Yeah. And let's designate local can also, I guess, mean Lexington and John Worth's view.
Okay, okay. Does it have to be made
It has to
currently?
Be one you've had, too.
No, it can be an old one.
All right. What's Brian Ray Miller's old...
Brownings.
Brownings. Yes.
She-Devil.
She-Devil.
Yeah, that's...
She-Devil used to be a good one.
Yeah.
What's your favorite place to eat here in Louisville? Take the missus out. It's date night. Kids are at a sitter. Where are you going
to
go?
I don't know. We got engaged at Jack Fry, so we go there once a year. It's always nice.
Nice. Okay.
You bet you get a little emotional up there at the gym when you're working out, when you're up there by Jack Fry's.
Yes,
I'm sure you get a little emotional.
Every single time I
go
to
work
out,
I
think about my wonderful wife.
Right.
Finish this statement.
That's fine, 'cause Scott does too. That's very hot.
Whoa.
Finish this statement. The thing I hate about the Louisville beer culture is...
Shit.
Quiet on the set.
Yeah.
Crickets, man.
No, I mean, I respect the market, so I don't know. I don't have anything to complain about it.
All right. The thing I love about the Louisville beer market is...
The Louisville amount of breweries we have in the small community.
So you're a big fan of the Nanos.
Yeah. Well, I think it brings people into our category.
Phil doesn't know about the Nano
joke. No, he doesn't know about the Nanos.
That we probably ought to get into and talk about.
You travel a lot. What is your favorite state to go do a beer fest or take your beer to?
My favorite state to travel is Virginia.
Virginia. Why?
Because you've got so many different markets, and they're all different from Roanoke to Chattanooga to Blacksburg, to Nova, the beach, and then Richmond. They're all different communities. Some are big, some are small, some are hippie, some are college, and they're all located all in one state, which, when you're used to traveling Kentucky and Tennessee and things of that nature, there's a lot of sparse space.
What is your favorite bourbon barrel beer from BBC and Clay?
Bourbon barrel stout.
That was too easy.
You got it rolling.
Is it still gone? Is the podcast still gone?
Have you ever woke up in a bar in Virginia at 6 a.m. in the morning and called me?
Yes, I have. And I broke out of said bar without setting the alarms off.
And then there's something stapled all over said bar in Virginia, like to the ceiling.
Bill, I'm going to give you $5 million. What would you like to do here in Louisville with that $5 million when it concerns to beer?
The beer.
Nothing.
I don't know. Travel a lot and play a lot of golf.
All right. Where's your favorite? Oh.
You do that now, though, right?
Favorite public course
here
in
Louisville. Why do you need $5 million to do that?
Favorite public course here in Louisville?
I guess we call it our country club would be Shawnee, just because it's fairly simple and straightforward, and you can add a good score there.
Yeah. Okay. But it floods a lot. Sometimes.
Yeah, don't play it when it floods.
Yeah. Yeah, like Wednesday. That's my question. So we're still on the podcast, still drinking beers. We've either dumped or poured out all the little contacts.
And we've killed the keyboard.
We've killed the keyboard.
What are you going to do about that?
I'm going to Staples on my way home.
Dude, this is hilarious.
I have four $2 bills just with your name on them. Get a new keyboard, so don't all worry right. about it.
My money.
You carry $2 bills.
You ever paid anything in $2 bills?
People freak out.
They're amazed. Like, where'd you get this? Like,
what
you have a friend?
No, no,
like,
dude.
You have a friend that hooks you up? Like,
the bank.
No, man, listen. There's a guy that comes in BBC, and he tips me every time with a $2 bill. And I was in there one night, and I had somebody – he tipped me with a $2 bill. And I swear to God, the very next person got a beer. It was $3.25 and paid for it with two $2 bills back to back.
The only
it's
benefit
weird, man.
That money's getting fancy.
$2 bills. Money the only is advantage is at strip clubs. They look like 20s if it's dark enough.
I hear you get a lot of those. Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of like someplace in Lexington from Country Boy that they dole out a lot of $2 bills. So
nice.
Yeah.
$2 bills and Sacagawea coins. That's the future. To hell with Bitcoins. That's the future right there.
Sacagawea.
Yeah, I've been hoarding up the Sacagawea coins for a while now.
Yeah. Who's Jawea? And why did you sack
it? Sacagawea?
Oh, man, it was a town just needed it.
What time is it?
It's, I think, time to wrap up this podcast.
It's time to go to everybody. You're invited to come to Michael Beckman's tonight, although the party will be over before this comes out. You're all invited tonight.
503 Macon Bacon.
Yeah. It was a good party, just thought I'd let y'all know.
Yeah, well, thanks for stopping by, Neil.
Yeah, man. Thanks
Phil,
for having
thanks
me, guys.
For barging in the fucking podcast man.
That's how I'll do it.
That's how you roll.
And same offer to you guys as I give my family in Arkansas that never takes me up on it. Y'all ever make it to the brewery, you always drink on me. So.
All right. Sweet.
Yeah. All right, I'll be there.
Done.
And, I'll be there in a couple days.
Yeah, I'll be there. I got nothing else going on.
Sweet. I'm your host, John Wirth, and John King's taking a drink.
I'm taking a drink. I'm done.
I'm boycotting telling who I am.
Oh, my
since
God.
You started, since you changed the format.
Hey, nanos are code word for titties.
Yeah, they are. Titties, sweet. And if your friends
want to. I love titties!
It's finally out.
Yeah, you should go read a post online if you can find it through John Wirth about nanos, and you'll get a very, very, very good chuckle.
John Wirth's going to have some nanos in his future tonight.
He's going to have secret handshake. He's going to have that rubber suit on, getting his nanos and his secret handshake.
We're out. Till next week. Thanks. Merry Christmas, by the way. Did we say
Hanukkah.
That?
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Boxing Day.
There you go.